Green Mountain Chronicles number 11, Early Days of Radio.
It is now apparent that the Republican ticket of Harding and Cooley is running well ahead of Cox and Roosevelt. At the present time, Harding has collected more than 16 million votes against some 9 million for the Democrats. We'll give you the state vote in just a moment. But first, we'd like to ask you to let us know if this broadcast is reaching you.
1920, and KDKA of Pittsburgh becomes the first commercial radio station in the United States, beginning its broadcast life with the results of the Harding-Cox presidential election. In 1924, Vermont's first radio station, WCAX, licensed to the University of Vermont, signs on the air. George Kidder, Ernest Wheatley, and Richard Bottomini remember the early days when radio came to Vermont.
My brother and this pal of his were very much interested in radio, and they had the old crystal set, and they made their own equipment. And, of course, you could only get it with earphones and things like that.
In about that period, my wife and I built ourselves a radio receiver. The Rutland Herald, they were running the description of how to do it. We had oatmeal boxes that we wound wire on the outside, which made a coil, and then we had another sized oatmeal box that we wound a certain number of coils of wire on. It went inside the other, and we put a rod through the most so that we could tip that inside coil at different angles. We had it placed in a wooden box, and we had put black satin cloth on around on the outside. We turned in, and sure enough, KDKA come in, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What a thrill we got to pick that music right out of the air. Wonderful, wonderful.
The family did have a radio. It was an Atwater Kent radio, and it was an oblong box. To get a radio station, you had to line up three knobs in order to get the station. And then you were plugged in, you had a headset, and it would squawk and it would squeal.
By the time I was in college, I was getting very much involved.
William Hall was a sophomore majoring in electrical engineering at the University of Vermont when he built the university's radio station in the summer of 1924.
And I got asked, would I be willing to tried to put a station together. They'd already gotten started by buying a lot of the elements that would go into it. Gave me a copy of a book on radio telephony, sort of turned me loose. There was a World War I shack, a wooden shack. There were a couple of classrooms and an electrical machinery laboratory there in that building. We put the radio station into one of the rooms, which was had been part of the laboratory, pot-bellied stoves, heating it, and so forth.
That fall, UVM inaugurated its weekly broadcast service, offering a variety of lectures and cultural entertainments. The university operated the radio station for 7 years before it was acquired by the Burlington Daily News and began broadcasting commercial material. By then, other radio stations were heard in Vermont. As Richard and Georgina Bottomini recall, radio had earned a place in the lives of Vermonters.
And we listened to, I think it was Amos and Andy and shows of that type.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
First Nighter.
Then there was a shadow. The Shadow Knows. That was on Sunday afternoon, I think. That was a scary one, too.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow Knows.
That was entertainment. You got your studying done quickly so that you'd be sure to hear it. You planned it, and you listened. You really listened. Whereas now, with radio, you're going to be moving. You're going to be doing things. Didn't do anything. We just sat there and listened to it. Glued. That was the word. We were glued to a favorite radio program.